Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning. Thankful for Joel for filling in while I was gone last weekend. Got to listen to his sermon, and he did a wonderful job, and it's a blessing to have him to be able to fill in when we need him, and it's been good to know him. Well, we want to welcome all of our guests. We're glad you're here this morning. Whatever has brought you here into town, we're glad you're here. And please stick around afterward. We'd love to get to know you and to meet you and to get to know your name and for us to hopefully encourage you this morning. Well, you know, I don't like to tell fake stories. I like to tell true stories. And usually my introductions to my lessons come from real life things that happen around us. And that's my joy, is to look up and find out interesting facts and things about the world around us. Well, this morning, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell a preacher story, one that's quite humorous. And who knows, maybe this could have happened to somebody. But let me tell you this story. There was this older woman who lived next door to an atheist man who did not believe in God. And every morning this woman would shout praises to God and thank him, blessing her each and every day that, you know, he's given her another day and he's given her a day to live for him. And each day the neighbor would hear her praise God and he would curse. He was so angry that he would hear that. Well, there was one particular morning. This woman was praying to God that she was just about out of food. She had no way to get any food, but she was still thankful. Again, she's doing this loudly, and the man next door could hear her. And so upon hearing this, this man went out to the local grocery store. He purchased two full bags of food, and he got home, put those on her doorstep, and he rang the doorbell, and he hid in the bushes away from her sight of the front door. Well, the woman opened the door, of course, and when she saw those bags, she rejoiced again, immediately praising God, thanking him for blessing her again. One more time, you've given me groceries. Thank you so much. Well, this man, this atheist man, jumps out of the bushes and he yells, "Ha! You fool! God did not buy you the groceries. I did." Well, that made her praise God even more. From that front porch, praising God and shouting thanks to him again. The man, confused, hollered again, "Can't you hear me? God did not give you the food, I did." The woman stopped for a moment and then looked up towards the sky and said, "Lord, I thank you for showing up and blessing me one more time and providing me groceries. Not only did you bring me food, but you made the devil pay for it." Do you pray? Do you ask God for the things that you need in your life? Does God answer you? Do you listen for an answer? Well, this morning we're going to read this passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as we continue into this series that we're doing through the Sermon on the Mount this year. And this morning we're going to read this passage and see that Jesus says, if you have a need, just ask. So let's read our passage this morning. It comes from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And it'll be on the screen for those that need that. But if you'll turn over to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Let's read this together here. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" Jesus here in this passage, he's continuing this great sermon that he's been giving to those people that are sitting on that hillside. And in this passage, he's talking about speaking to the Father. When you need his help, what do? You talk to our God, our Father in heaven. He begins this section here of Matthew with three imperative statements. He tells them, you have a need, do these things. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. These three statements here in this passage, these are bold statements for anyone to make. You know, about speaking to God, Jesus, to say these things, these people would probably be a bit confused. Not completely confused. They would understand what he's saying, but they might not understand that they can do these things. They can ask, they can seek, they can knock. There's a couple reasons why this would be a little bit confusing for them. The first one is this. In this culture at this time, the pagans around them, the people who didn't believe in God, they worshipped all kinds of gods and deities. They had idols. And so to speak to God or to speak to some kind of deity, it would be a very out-of-place thing to do. They feared the gods because they were wrathful people. And they didn't do enough to please them. They wouldn't have done enough. They continually had to sacrifice to these other gods. And at any time, you could be struck down by these other gods and deities. So for them at this time to say, come and ask God for what you need, it would be a little bit unheard of for them to think about that. The second reason is for these God-fearing Jews, the people who believed in and knew this God, the God Yahweh. They knew him. These Jews were of this belief that only the most holy and righteous could come into God's presence. If you remember, they would think of people like Abraham and Isaac, Moses, Joshua. And then at this time, it would be only the high priest. Only the high priest could come before God and speak on behalf of these people. So to come before God, even as his people, would be unheard of. So Jesus then gives them these three imperative statements. They can now come before the most holy God with confidence. You can now do that. Jesus tells them, if you have something that you need, something in your life, just ask. If you're looking for the right way forward, just seek. If you want to go into God's presence, just knock. And that's the joy that we have as God's people. Today we have that joy. We're blessed today to be able to stand before him and to speak with God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. We have this confidence that we can speak to God and he hears us. And if it's according to his will, he answers. So let's go on and look at more of this part of Jesus' sermon here. He goes on, he gives his hearers some assurance about this goodness of God. This is a good God and you should know him. One of the joys that I have as a father is being able to bless my children with gifts. This is something I've enjoyed doing, giving them over the years different fun toys that I gave it to them to play with, but really it was for me to play with them. I enjoyed it, I think, a little bit more than they did at the time. But I thought these are things they would love to play with, and it would give me joy to watch them do that. And I would often buy them little videos to watch, the newest VeggieTales movie. I'd love to share those with my kids and to see the joy on their face when they'd sing those new songs they were learning, the silly songs with Larry. It was fun. I enjoyed that. It brought me joy to be able to provide that. And being able to provide food and shelter and a home, it fills me with joy to be able to do that for my kids, this joy that I receive taking care of my children. And now that they're out of the house, it's actually a little bit difficult not providing for them as much. Now, though, we're going to get calls I already know we're going to get calls asking if they can have a little bit of money. You know, they're in college now, and so they're going to spend all the money they have as soon as they get it. But it brings me joy to be able to provide for my children. And in this passage that we're reading this morning, we're seeing in Matthew 7, we see that Jesus is saying that God also gets joy when we ask from him. And if we go back to Matthew chapter 7 again, let's read back in this passage again. He says, "Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" When our children ask for things like food or other things they have in needs, what do we give them? Do we give them something completely different than what they asked for? No, we don't give them something that would hurt. Would we give them rocks to eat if they're hungry? Or maybe hand them a snake? Here's something for you. Give them a venomous snake? No. Jesus is saying, if you are good, you give these good to your children like food, bread, and fish when you need them, then who is God? He's going to do that too. Jesus says something interesting here. He says, "If you then who are evil." That stood out to me when I read this passage again. If you then who are evil, do you feel evil? Do you think that you're an evil person? I don't feel like I'm an evil person. But Jesus says this, "You then who are evil." Was he calling those people that day evil? You know, I read into this and looked into this, the original language and everything I could look for. Surely he doesn't mean that. Surely he doesn't mean that he's calling them evil. Well, the answer is an unfortunate yes. This word does mean evil. And so I have to look at this passage and say, and take Jesus' word for it. You who are evil, what is he saying? That we're evil? That we seek out to always do evil? He's not saying that. He's not saying that we always seek out to do evil, that we have no choice but to do evil. But he's saying that we are sinful people. We do evil things. Whether we think they're evil or not, they might be, in our minds, these little sins. But we commit those sins. And Jesus' point is that we who sin and do evil things at various times in our lives, we know how to do good. We can do good. We can find times when we will choose goodness, especially with our children. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness is one of those fruit. And he's saying, if we can do that, then what can our God, who is eternally, infinitely good, eternally and infinitely perfect, can he do good for us, his children? Yeah, he can do that. You know, this all sounds good, right? You know, reading this passage this week as I was preparing for this lesson, I had to acknowledge the fact that this is hard. There are times when we ask for things and we don't get what we're asking for. Why do bad things happen to us? Why do bad things happen to other people when we have prayed? When we have asked God to help? When we have sought him out? When we've knocked on his door and said, "God, I need your help." There's a movie, maybe you've seen it, called The Goonies. It's a film from 1985. And we watch in this movie this group of kids who are going on a hunt for treasure, this treasure of One-Eyed Willie, so that they can save their homes from being sold to this corporate investor. So they go into all these different adventures, and I'm not going to go into all those. But at one point in this movie, they end up underground. They're in these secret tunnels on their way to this treasure. They're trying to find it. They come to this cave, and there's coins everywhere, money, piles of it, and water. And they all start grabbing these coins and putting them in their pockets, thinking this might be the treasure. The realization comes that they are underneath this wishing well in the center of town. And these are the coins that people have thrown into this well, trying to make a wish, wishing for something to change in their life, wishing for something good to come of their life. Well, there's this character named Mouth. He's played by Corey Feldman. He's called Mouth because he's got a loud mouth. He's just a loud kid. But he's had a difficult life, and he continues to collect coins, even after they've made this realization. Other people start telling him to put the money back. It's not his. He's angry. And so Mouth holds up a coin. He says, "You know what? This is my wish. This is my wish. These coins here represent all of my wishes, and none of them came true. So I'm taking them back. I'm taking all of them back." And he continues to pick up coins. I relate this to this passage because don't we ever feel like that? Don't we ever feel like our prayers maybe aren't answered? And we want to know why. Are you ever angry that God did not answer your prayers? Did you want that prayer back? This is a difficult thing to talk about as Christians, as believers in our lives. We're told in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, this was our scripture reading this morning, "Truly, truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." We're told that God answers our prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. What we find sometimes, or at least perhaps how we feel, is that God has not answered our prayer. What we realize is the hard answer is sometimes it's a no. Sometimes he answers yes, but maybe it's not how we thought it was going to be answered. And if our prayer is in a bad faith situation, we're asking for things that are not good. He's not going to answer that, those evil things that we think about in our lives. In Romans 8, verses 1 and 3, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." Even Jesus' disciples made this mistake. In Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 38, these brothers, James and John, come to Jesus, sons of Zebedee. They came up to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "Well, what do you want to do for me? What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking." And he goes on to talk a little bit more about that. Sometimes, in asking for the right thing, we're asking for the wrong things. And it's not intentional. It's not that we know we're doing it. The disciples thought they were capable of being leaders, and they were willing to stand with Jesus in his kingdom. But Jesus told them, "You don't know what you're asking for. You are asking for death. You are asking for persecution. You're asking for martyrdom. Are you ready for that?" Maybe in our lives, we're not seeking for something like this grand of a scale. But even in the small things that we ask for, sometimes we ask for the wrong thing. What about when we feel like it's the right thing? What about when we ask for healing for people? When we ask for comfort in this life? When we ask to be rescued out of difficult situations. You know, in all these things, God is working. He's working on our pain, on us through our pain. He's working on us through our discomfort, through our persecution. And in those times when we pray to God for these things, we say, God, I don't know what to ask for. I don't know how to say it. This is what I want. This is what I feel I need in my life. The Holy Spirit intervenes. We read in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. Well, what do we pray for then? Friends, what do we ask for? If we don't know what to say, if we don't know why we don't get the answers we're looking for, what do we say? What do we pray for then? What do we ask for? He says to ask. He says to seek and to knock. What do we say when we have God as a captive listener to our voice? You know, we might think, doesn't God have better things to do than to listen to me and my prayer? No. God hears us. He's listening. What does He say? He says, pray for the whatever. We read that in these passages this morning. Whatever. Whatever you need in your life, pray for that. Take that whatever in your life, the things that we have in our lives, take those things. Keep praying those prayers that you pray. Know with confidence that God is listening even when it seems like He isn't answering. Those whatevers in our life are the things that Jesus has told us to pray for. Pray persistently, pray confidently, pray expectantly, and just ask. Have faith. John chapter 14, verse 13, He says, whatever you ask in My name, I will do. We have to believe that that's true. Jesus has told us that that's true. And sometimes the answer comes in a way that we're not expecting. We think that we have not been answered. Our prayers have not been answered. And it may not be but years later that you realize why it is that those situations happened in your life. Sometimes we might not ever know. But we build our faith and we build our relationship with God every time we spend time to talk with Him. This is not an easy life to live. Our world is filled with all kinds of brokenness and sin and people who want to do bad things to one another. And we see it every day in the news. And it's hard to reconcile that with a good God who loves us. God has also given us a will to live. He's done that for everybody, even those that don't follow His commands. So we have to trust Him to provide and to watch over all of us as we go about our day, each and every day. This is a tough teaching. You know, I wasn't kidding when I wrote this as a subtitle, this tough teaching. It is. It's hard to hear these words sometimes. But we can also rejoice. We rejoice because God has given us this ability to just ask. He hears us. He hears our voice. This morning, my invitation to you is that if you have something in your life where you're just struggling to find out why is this happening? Well, we want to pray with you. We want to spend this morning in a prayer for you, the things in your life that are difficult. Perhaps something in this lesson has convicted you that you need repentance of. We would love to pray for you with that too. This time of invitation is for all. If you want to pray together, I'll be up here up front. We can pray. One of our elders, he'll stand over on this side as well. And you can pray with him if you want to pray with him. And we'll be here for you to pray with this morning. And if you have any other need, please bring that to us. Let's talk. This invitation is open for everyone. Let's stand. We're going to sing this song. And during this song is your opportunity. Let's stand and sing.